Hi guys, this is What the Faux Travel Podcast. It's series 2, episode 5, and this one's all about Germany.
Welcome to Germany.
Auf Wiedersehen, asshole.
Hello guys, welcome again for another installment of What the Faux Travel Podcast. We're talking, why did I say it in American accent? Podcast.
Why are you American today?
What the Faux Travel Podcast. We are talking about Germany. And why are we talking about Germany?
Because we just got back from Germany.
Yeah, well, a few months ago now. We went to Germany over December and over New Year's because we both have a bit of time off over Christmas. So we thought, let's not waste this precious time. We went to Cologne, then went to Winterberg for a bit of skiing. Then we went to Berlin for an epic New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, and we had to start the show with a bridesmaid quote there. Welcome to Germany.
Yeah, if you've seen the film, you'll find it funny. But if you haven't, we're not being insulting to German people.
But I definitely think that should be the name for this episode. Auf Wiedersehen, asshole.
All right, done.
There we go. That's the name of the podcast, done and dusted in the first like 10 seconds. So we've got lots to come on today's show. We are going live, Facebook Live, later on, which is all a bit nerve-wracking because normally we can hide behind our mics, but today we are on camera.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite nervous.
Yeah, I am a little bit as well. So by the time you're listening to this, you'll be able to look that up on our Facebook page. And when the episode's out as well in a few months' time, we'll repost it so you can have a look at it. But we're going to be playing a game called Sausage Fest.
It's going to be filth. It's going to be messy, filthy, but it should be good fun.
It is, and I'm really scared, but I really want to win. But we've also got a new feature coming up today as well, which is language lessons with Amy.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I've got my own feature from now on, because you've got your game show facts. It's only fair that I have my own one as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
Talking about it now, should we just jump straight in? Let's hear some Germany facts.
Let's do it. Give me that sick beat. Okay, Germany, locally referred to as Deutschland, is a country located in central Western Europe. The population is around 82 mil, the largest population in the European Union. After the United States, it's the second most popular immigration destination in the world. Germany's capital and largest city is Berlin. It's famous for history and nightlife. Germany has a dark history. They sought European dominance in World War I, but they were defeated by Britain, France, Russia, Italy and the United States. Strict sanctions were then placed on Germany because they were blamed for World War I. This went a long way to contributing to World War II. In desperate times, the country turned to a leader called Adolf Hitler, the head of the Nazi Party. He was able to convince people to blame the Jewish community for the country's hardships. This led to the Holocaust and the death of millions of Jewish people. Germany had European dominance in their sights again, and in September 1939, they invaded Poland. This is the day that France and Britain declared war on Germany, aka World War II, which Germany then lost. After the war, Germany was divided into four temporary occupation zones. The German capital, Berlin, was also divided into four sectors: the French sector, British sector, American sector, and the Russian-Soviet sector. Germany has come a long way since these dark days. It now has the fourth largest economy in the world and boasts a high standard of living. It's also one of the most liberal places in the world to live. At this present time, Germany have a very good football team. They won the last World Cup, which was in Brazil. This is the first European country to win a competition in South America. German law maintains that it's basic human instinct to be free, and therefore prisoners have the right to escape jail. Some German roads have no speed limits. Germany is famous for car manufacturing, sausages and beer festivals. The legendary Oktoberfest has been running every year in Munich since 1810.
Again, great facts, Nick.
That was a busy one, wasn't it?
I do like them, though. That was really, really good. The one that did stand out after going to Germany was that it's a very liberal country.
For sure. And it's like quite a contrast to the bad history they've had.
100%.
But yeah, Berlin in particular, whether you're black, white, gay, straight, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. Like, no one gives a shit.
No,
it's great.
And it is great. Like, you can tell everybody's really liberal. Like, I would say the UK is very liberal.
Well, yeah.
Amongst more the younger generations. But there, even there, I felt like I wasn't liberal. Even though I am a really liberal person, like whatever you want to do goes.
Be
with
honest,
me.
If you saw two men holding hands or having a little kiss, you'd be a bit like, "Oh, I'm surprised about that," but it's fine, it's good. But
I like it. Yeah. But I would be a bit like, "Whoa, okay." Like you don't really see that at home much.
Sure.
Anyway.
Exactly.
So no, it's great, and I do really, really like it. It's a very liberal place. Very good facts.
Good facts. There. And yeah, what is that all about prisoners? Like, it's not actually a crime to escape. Most prisoners are then caught because. Trying to escape, they damage the building or whatever, so they get done for that. But yeah, then technically you're allowed to try to escape.
Mental. That is seriously mental. Let's talk about why we travelled to Germany. So the one reason why we went to Germany was to go to the Christmas markets, wasn't it? So we actually booked it for just after Christmas. We left England on the 27th of December, so 2 days after Christmas. But then we found something out, didn't we?
Well, that was a fail because, yeah, I then, through work, spoke to a German guy who said, oh, on Christmas Eve, actually not even Christmas Eve they're up, they pack them down the day before Christmas Eve.
So we pretty much missed all of the Christmas markets.
But we heard Cologne was a good place to go, so that's why I went to Cologne first. We still got cheap flights from London, and we had a really good time, didn't we?
We did. And just at this point, I just want to say that we went after the tragic incident that happened in Berlin. And so we just want to say that our thoughts are there with everybody that was affected by the incident.
But yeah, it sucked. These things happen all around the world. And remember when I got back from Nice, only a few weeks after I got back, a similar attack happened there. And yeah, it really sucks for people that are involved. But people out there, don't let it stop you travelling and seeing the world. We've got to live our lives. And yeah, that's all I can say about that. So Cologne was our first stop. And again, the reason why I went there is because we were told it's really good for Christmas markets, which we never got to see in the end. But when we first got there, it all seemed quite quiet because it had just been Christmas. So everyone was probably relaxing until New Year's. And at one point, you kind of jokingly said, oh, like, why have we come here again? Because there's not really much to do. But yeah. I was like, well, because of the markets, but let's still check it out and see what the place has to offer. And we really enjoyed it, didn't we? Cologne. It's a really, really nice city.
Yeah, it really is. And we didn't really see, like you said, I was a bit like, why are we here? The first time I actually thought, oh, I really like this place was when we went on our walking tour with Danny. He really showed us like great places to go in Cologne. And we're talking to him a bit later in an interview, but their tours are really different. So they not only tell you about the history of the place and the culture, they really show you of like where young people want to go out. Like if you like this type of music, go here. If you like this type of night out, go here. So that was really good to meet Danny and him educate us on Cologne.
Yeah, it was a really good tour. And he actually told us that Cologne is pretty much like, that we're going to talk about this later in the interview, but pretty much the gay capital of Germany. But then at that point, I thought, oh, wait, it was my idea to come to Germany. My wife's now probably thinking, why do you want to come to Germany? It's like the gay, not Germany, Cologne. It's like the gay capital of the country. That wasn't the reason why, but it was interesting to find out.
If you do want to head to Cologne and you are part of the LGBT community, then you are completely going to the right place. So by LGBT, I mean lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender. This is like your mecca. This is where you want to go because there's special parts of Cologne where you can go, where there's like a range of clubs all on one street. Everyone's really welcoming, like we said before. Everyone's really liberal. Or even if you're not part of the LGBT community, you'll still have a really good time in Cologne. And yeah. I've just never really been somewhere where I feel so welcome straight off. And Germans are known for being really standoffish and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's just a stereotype because like their language sounds quite stern and a bit scary. But no, every time I've been to Germany, I've been 3 times now. People are great, so friendly, especially even like given our history, even when you say you're from England, they love it. They're like, oh, you're from England, they want to know where you're from and they want to practice their English. So they love it.
Also, on the lines of sexuality, there's a special homosexual memorial from World War II. So if that's your thing, go check it out.
Yep, for sure. But that was interesting to learn. Another thing interesting, we went for some lunch with some great food, some great sausages. This is not the only time you're going to hear us talk about sausages this episode. But the beers. Now, when we first got there, I was disappointed because I got served this beer in this tiny glass. I'm like, we're supposed to be in Germany. What's this all about? I'm thinking about Oktoberfest, big steins. But in that part of Germany, they're way more sophisticated. They drink it in a small glass to keep it fresh and cold. And as soon as you're done, they bring you another one. If you don't want any more, you put your coaster on top of the glass.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
That's good, isn't it? It's a bit like them Brazilian restaurants where...
I was going to say that.
You flip your coaster to like red when you're done, or green means keep the meat coming.
It's just a really good way of serving up, really. And they're just really thinking about your experience as you're in their restaurant or whatever. So it's really cool.
And Cologne, the old town, we walked around that cathedral. What's it called? Do you remember?
The Dome?
The Dome. I think I've read somewhere this dome or cathedral in Cologne is Germany's number one tourist attraction.
Yeah, which is really strange because you'd think it'd be something in Berlin.
For sure. But it was impressive.
It really was. And my favourite fact about this dome, right? So it's quite black in colour. It's really dark because of pollution stuck to its material. But what they're doing is they're putting this special bacteria onto it. So within 20 years' time, the bacteria is going to eat all of that dirt off of it and it will be back to its original colour.
Clever.
Which I just think's amazing. I really, really like that.
Very clever.
One funny thing was when we checked into our hostel, which was a really cool hostel, which we'll talk about in a sec. Mm. We went to the front desk and said, like, oh, we're really hungry. Where should we go for lunch? Where's the best place? And the guy showed us where to go. And then he gave us a bit of advice, didn't he? Which was, waiters in Cologne are rude and it's just their style. So basically, you just got to deal with it.
Yeah, but that was good to know. But then actually, because we were prepared for them to be rude, to us, they didn't seem that rude, did they?
No.
They just seemed quite, like, efficient, like, to the point.
Yeah.
Like, they don't mess about with, like, hey, how you doing? Actually, yes, yeah, compared to kind of American waiters, when you walk in the door, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? Like, yeah. For me, that some people, oh, everyone's different, but for me, that's too much. But it's like, sit down, what do you want? Beer, sausage, done.
So if someone asks how you are, that's too much.
Well, if a friend asks me how I am, fine. But if you don't really care, I'd rather not have the conversation.
Whatever. You're really rude.
You know what I mean? There'll be plenty of people out there that agree with me.
Yeah. So, well, if you're in a German restaurant, just deal with it, basically. That is the advice from our hostel.
Even if the waiters are rude, the beer and the sausage will more than make up for it.
Yeah, we had really, really good food in that place as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we did big portions as well.
Amazing. The other interesting thing, going into a bit of War Memorial type talk... if that makes any sense. If you walk around Cologne, you'll see a load of gold plates on the floor. They're like, I don't know, like 5-inch square plates. And
yeah,
there's normally like two or three stuck together. A bit like a cobbled street, but a couple of the cobbles are gold.
Yeah.
And even though this sounds a bit disrespectful, but you're actually supposed to step on them. Because the more you step on them, the more shiny they go, because they're gold.
Yeah, you clean them. Yeah, therefore... are they for victims
of the Holocaust? Yeah, exactly.
But unless we were told that by our tour guide who you'll hear from later, we would have walked straight past and missed them.
Yes.
They are easy to miss, aren't they?
They are. But each one has a victim's name on there with their date of birth and things like that, which I think is really nice, really personal.
Yeah.
It's not just in one place in the whole of Germany. They're just dotted everywhere.
Hmm.
Talking of things that are dotted around the city, there's graffiti of bananas. So, Nick, do you want to explain that?
There is, yeah. It's by a German artist. I can't remember his name. Let's call him the German Banksy.
Yes.
We'll call him... I was about to say Banksy in a German accent, but that just would have sounded so shit and,
and
racist.
Do it.
Banksy! See? You just embarrassed me so much there. I look like a right twat. Yeah, so he does his graffiti of bananas on buildings that he thinks kind of have artistic value. So it might be an art gallery. If he thinks the art gallery's good, there'll be a banana on there. The people that own the art gallery the next morning when they see it will think, cha-ching, because if he thinks it's good, it's going to attract people to it. Or it could just be a nice building or whatever. But look out for the banana when you walk around Cologne.
Such good advice. The other thing as well to look out for is Zed Street, which is a place that's really good for nights out. So if you like your electronic music, I think that's the place to go. There was a different place if you were into hip hop. Can't remember what that street's called, but Zed Street.
Yeah, because I think the name of it is actually like something beginning with Z. Zeborgenschnacken Street, but everyone calls it Zed Street.
Accent on point there.
Thank you very much.
Right, let's move on to a fact about the name of Cologne. So this never occurred to us before we went there, and as well with our walking tour guide Danny as well. Cologne. What else is called Cologne?
Something that smells good.
Exactly. So we did not know this, but that's where Cologne was born.
Obviously.
So there's a shop in the centre of Cologne as well, which is like the original Cologne shop. And it's called number 4711. I don't know if that's the way you say it, but it's like a citrus flavour. It smells really nice, actually, but it smells like a cleaning product, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit strange, yeah.
For perfume or cologne, it's not great, but it's something I would clean my bathroom with.
Yeah, make the bathroom smell nice.
Yeah, exactly. But Napoleon was quite famous for his cologne as well. So he wore a bottle of cologne every single day. And like back in those times, that would cost like half a year's salary. So that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Ridiculous.
And the other thing he had done as well, he had some boots made, some like shoe boots, but he had them made so that he could slot a bottle of cologne in them and carry it around with him at all times.
To be fair, I bet back then people stank. Like they wouldn't have really thought about it because it was normal then. Like our parents had like one bath a week.
And gross.
They probably shared the water as well.
Fucking gross.
It's as if they like lived in proper harsh times. It was only like, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago.
I swear my mum actually used to get the bath from under the bed. It wasn't even like permanently in the bathroom.
Wow. But yeah,
my mum isn't even old.
I bet back then in Napoleon times, I bet people did stink.
Yeah, so you probably needed a bottle of cologne to sort you out.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was a few facts from Cologne, and just talking roughly about our hostel, it was really cool because we had double bed bunk beds, which you hardly see.
Which you never see in a hostel.
And it was a nice one because you had them curtains that you could pull across.
Bit of privacy.
Because obviously we're in a dorm room because...
Cheap.
Because Nick's cheap, basically.
Well, we had the choice of either one really nice holiday a year or lots of little ones, but we just stay in shit accommodation.
But it wasn't even shit. It was actually really nice. Really clean hostel. And it was called...
The hostel we stayed in was called Die Wonnenschneimenschnaft.
Oh,
you all got that?
Oh, wow.
Well, it's two words. D is like D-I-E and then Wonnenschneimenschnaft. I found it on Hostel World. You'll see it on there. But like every room's got a different theme. We were in like a Shakespeare room, weren't we?
Yeah, so our curtains were red and looked like theatre curtains.
Yeah. But it was a good hostel. I'd recommend it.
It is. So because we had to travel around the city, obviously, to get different places, if you are going to Cologne, we would recommend staying in Hansaring. That's the name of the tube and it's spelled Hansaring. Hansaring.
Yeah, we always seemed to be passing through it, didn't we?
Yeah, it was like the centre. Anywhere.
Yeah, so recommend staying in that part of town.
It's a good stop, that. So we've said a couple of times that our walking tour guide was called Danny. We chatted to Danny about the tour company he works for in Cologne, which is called Can You Handle It Tours. And we asked him what makes Can You Handle It Tours that little bit different.
Can You Handle It Tours is definitely, like I mentioned at the beginning of the tour, we're not a traditional tour company by any means. We like to joke around, we have dumbass stories for you, we have fun, because I think you do learn more in that sense when you're having fun and you're, oh, this was a hilarious story, but also this has this cool history behind it. So it really helps to like ingrain it in your brain a little bit more. So that is our idea behind Can You Handle It.
Definitely, and I think it did come over that way, didn't it? So like on the tour we learned the best places to go out for a drink and like if you like hip-hop music or electronic music, we found all those different places to go as well as all the history.
A lot of history, yeah. And I think you said at the start of the tour, if people don't like your style, they can fuck off.
Exactly. That's our motto too, again, because it's a free walking tour, so you, like we said, you don't fucking have to be here. You can do whatever the hell you want. And that's what's fun again about it too, because I feel like on a lot of tours, a lot of times it's interesting and you learn a lot of cool stuff, but it's a business sort of. I met a lot of cool people on my tours and I made a lot of friends from it and that kind of stuff as well. So it's nice that you get to know people more on a personal level in that sense. So it's nice.
Yeah, definitely. And so on the tour, we learned that Cologne is quite big for the LGBT community. Yes. So can you explain what that is for people that don't know? And yeah, just explain why you think Cologne is good for people from that community.
For sure, definitely. Definitely, like I had said too, so there's all the debates between who's gay or between Berlin or Cologne. Cologne is definitely a very open city and very accepting about that kind of stuff, so that's why the LGBT community collects here, and it is considered the gay capital of Germany. I'm gay, so I can tell you from a personal level, it's been awesome being here, because there's a lot of like people are really friendly about it and stuff like that too. Like I would never like think about holding my boyfriend's hand in public at home. It would kind of like make me feel uncomfortable, but here I just can kiss them and do whatever the hell I want, you know, because people are just like, oh, that's a cute couple, you know.
Yeah.
They move on from it. They have other things to worry about. And it's really nice in that sense too, because like I had said, there's a lot of film festivals and pride festivals, and each like there's different tribes in the gay community, so each tribe has their own parade or special day for them, and it's just really opening and nice in that sense. It's really a great community and very strong knit as well, because it's such a good community. Everyone knows everyone too, especially like the X Corner and things like that, which is the bar I mentioned. There's a lot of different stuff, like, so everyone knows everyone, and it's a good thing. It's kind of like a family, you know.
Yeah.
LGBT actually Q as well, so questioning.
Oh, okay, right. So so that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender.
Questioning. And there's actually another one now, I think A or something like that, asexual.
Oh, right, okay. Cool, okay. So the other thing we wanted to talk about was the colognes.
Yeah, well, obviously we're in Cologne, We went to a few fragrance shops. We're all smelling very good.
We are
at the moment, aren't we? We actually are. This is the best smelling walking tour I've ever been on. So can you explain a little bit about the history of why these fragrances come from this place?
For sure, yeah. So there's 4711 and Farina House. So there's the two original eau de colognes. So they were fighting for a long time over who was the original. They actually weird history behind the recipe being the original, and someone stole it. And so these definitely diverged into two very different colognes, but very unique again to cologne. I definitely didn't put two and two together thinking cologne and cologne.
Until
when I first came here, I was like,
oh I thought you
shit.
Meant just now oh, no, on no. the interview. I was like,
you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome,
no,
Daddy.
When I first came here, that's when I finally put it together. But yeah, they're really interesting. I mean, 4711, like I had said, it just has such a steep history. Like, I've had that cologne sitting in my bathroom for as long as I can remember, and I never realized it was from here until I came. So it's kind of cool to like learn more about the history and that kind of stuff too. And like Farina House has such a deep history as well.
So we should also talk about the fact that you have an American accent.
I do.
So you're not actually German. Can you just tell us where you're from?
I'm from a very small town in Wisconsin. It's called Whitewater, Wisconsin. So it's Wisconsin is definitely a random state to say the least. But it's good. It's home. So.
And, cool. But you're enjoying your time here in Europe?
Very much so, again, because I come from a very small town. It's 5 kilometers long, so I've been living it up as much as possible, being here. A little too much sometimes, I think.
We also recorded a part of the walking tour, which I thought was interesting. He was talking about Nazis back in World War II. It was a really interesting point that I thought he made, so check it out.
What we're underneath again is a war memorial here. So this is for the Germans themselves. When the war started, there was about 30,000 German soldiers that refused to fight. So either you were drafted into the army, you just didn't show up, or if you were already in the army, you'd lay down your weapons and say, I don't agree with what's going on. And again, it's incredibly fucking brave. If you're going to Hitler and saying, hey, screw you, dude, I don't like what you're doing, I don't agree with this, I think it's really cool. And that's why I really like this war memorial a lot, too, because again, learning about history seems like so old and not important. And especially when I learned about history, specifically World War II, everyone's in Germany's a Nazi. All these bad things were happening, which isn't true at all. About 5% of the population were actually part of the Nazi population. And then the rest were actually good people trying to do the proper thing. So yeah, if you were drafted into the army, you just didn't show up and you got taken away, you actually got taken to that building right across the street right there. So that is the headquarters of the Gestapo, or the secret German police, which is definitely a really crazy police force. There's a lot of hysterics around it. If you had a Jewish neighbor you had talked to one time, you could get taken there. If you looked at an officer funny, you could get taken there. So there's a lot of hysteria around that, of course, but it's an interesting building nowadays. It's called the ELDE Museum. It is the National Socialist Museum. So it's unique because it's actually one of the few buildings that wasn't blown up from the war. So if you go underneath there, you can actually see the original jail cells, which are definitely, of course, heavy to see, but really unique. Because you can see the writings on the walls and everything. So tick marks on the wall about how long people had been there for, messages to their friends and family and loved ones. The last ones in there is, I think I've seen American soldiers. So they were coming through and liberating the city for the final time. So if World War II history is an interest of yours, it's only 4 years to go in there. It's a really cool place.
So thanks, Danny, for the walking tour, which was actually, it was a really good tour, one of my favourites that we've done.
Yeah, me too.
And thanks for coming on the show, really, really good of him. So I think Cologne is done and dusted. Do you agree?
Yep, definitely. Make sure you go to Cologne. It is one of my favourite places in Germany. So then we got the train across to Winterberg. And I say it like that because I know it annoys Nick.
Well pronounced. No, no, oh no, that's good. It annoys me when people say Budapest. 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 You know who you are.
Oh, it's so gross. But yeah, you really hate it when people are talking English and then they'll say something in the accent of that language.
Yeah, if you want to talk in their language, talk their language all the time. But if you want to speak in English, speak in English.
Yeah, so I'm going to be giving you some more tips about this later, but it's Winterberg, but they pronounce a W as a V, so it's Winterberg. But yeah, this is where we skied, which was really, really cool. It's in the centre of Germany. Literally smack bang in the middle. And yeah, we went there for skiing. There wasn't any snow though, was there?
There had been no snow, but a lot of the runs did have the fake snow machines, thankfully. So they'd been blowing away for the last few days. So there was snow to ski on, thank God.
Yeah, and like the mountains were really good. We only went for one day skiing and we definitely covered a lot of the mountain because we were going quite quickly. But I reckon you could get 3 days skiing and not get bored?
Probably, yeah, no more than that. Because a lot of the runs weren't open because there wasn't much snow. So obviously there normally is a lot more for us to see. But we pretty much did it all in one day. It's a nice little ski resort. Again, for a couple of days, it's a really cool place to go. It's a nice town as well.
To get a lift pass for the day, it's €34. And to ski hire for the day, so skis and boots and that, €17 for the day.
Yeah, skis are quite cheap. Although the lift pass, you think, if you're there for a week, 34 times 5 or 7 days, that does add up, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, I guess so.
But no, it was reasonable.
For what it was, I was happy to pay that, definitely. And the town was so full, wasn't it?
Packed.
All the hotels were fully booked.
Yeah.
And also the restaurants. Like, we stayed there for 2 nights, so ate there twice, and we were waiting ages, weren't we?
To sit in a restaurant.
Just to sit down, let alone the food.
We booked our accommodation well in advance, and otherwise we wouldn't have anywhere to stay. But yeah, restaurants. Yeah, and remember some of them, you get there, the front door's closed, and you're like, how do I get in? And actually, when they're full, they lock you out. And there were some people waiting outside in the cold to wait for another table to leave to go in and sit down.
Very, very strange, but there you go.
But nice town, but just because it was coming up to New Year's, it was full. It was packed.
Yeah, and it was really good to see that it was full, because it's not the Alps or anything like that, but it's still a very popular destination, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. And I said to you, I said, oh, I bet there's only Germans here. I bet no tourists come here. And we found out, actually, it's probably more, there's probably more Dutch people there than there are Germans, because we're quite close to Holland, and of course they have no mountains in Holland.
I thought everything we was listening to was German, like when people go to ski pass or whatever. I was like, yeah, Nick, yeah, all I can hear is German right now.
I'm starting to get to another language.
And then we was on the ski lift and we spoke to that guy and he was like, no, everyone hears Dutch. I was like, yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
I totally get Dutch people.
But one of my favourite things in Winterberg was that fucking cool circle bar.
Yes, best bar in Germany.
It really was. So it was like, what size diameter was it? Like, what, 4-5 metres?
It was like a small conservatory in the middle of town, really,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
And it was like a temporary pop-up bar, and it was in a circle, like with plastic windows, so you could see straight all the way through, and the guy in the middle was the bar. Like, it was really small, but he was really cool, wasn't he, the barman?
Yeah, and he could tell we weren't from around them parts. He's like, where are you guys from? So we said England, and he's like, ah, I've got just the thing for you. And he put on some music, and he put on the Proclaimers.
And I will walk 500 miles.
But even though they're Scottish. And he was like, you like this music?
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
But we did appreciate him trying to get us involved.
Yeah, for sure. And they were blaring out loads of German songs as well. And it was good fun, wasn't it?
It really was. So we very much enjoyed our time in Winterberg.
Yeah, and it was quite easy to get there on the train. It was about an hour and a half journey from Dortmund, which is like one of the main stations near Cologne. But yeah, really easy to get there.
Definitely.
Then we got the train.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. One last thing about Winterberg, but it kind of goes for the whole of Germany. The drinking culture. I know this is going to come up later as well. But we were skiing in the mountains. I believe the lifts opened at like 9.
Yeah,
I think it was 9 o'clock, wasn't it? We were up there by like 9:15, 9:30, and we thought, right, we'll quickly stop now because we hadn't had any breakfast, because Germany, right, get your breakfast restaurants out.
Sort it out.
It seems like no one eats breakfast there. We couldn't get anywhere for like eggs or anything. So we stopped quickly on the mountain just to grab a sandwich. And people were drinking beer at 9:30.
They were. Those guys are committed to their drinking habit. The Germans love it. 9:30 in the morning, getting beers, and you've got a whole day of skiing ahead of you. I don't mind stopping at lunchtime for a beer skiing, but yeah, right at the start of the day, then you've got to be outside active all day long. That's impressive.
It is impressive. So from there, we went to Berlin, and we were there for New Year's, weren't we?
Yep.
So we got there like a day, or was it 2 days before?
Yeah, we arrived on the 30th, and then obviously New Year's was the 31st.
Yeah, okay, so a bit of time before to get settled in and do a walking tour and stuff like that. But to get there, we took a train again from Winterberg. We had to go back to Dortmund and then kind of go across the top of Germany all the way to the right side where Berlin is.
Yeah, it's quite a long journey. Train was good there, wasn't it?
One comment on the trains. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, their bad trains over there is like better than our good trains in the UK. They're so clean. It's like being in the future. And they were amazing, them trains. Some of them have two levels as well. Like, it's like a double decker.
They're really good. So then we arrived in Berlin, our final stop on our little mini trip around Germany. Now, Berlin's a place I was really excited to go back to. I've been there before and I was really fascinated by the city because great nightlife, it's a lot of fun, but there's so much to see and so much to learn during the day in terms of like history and culture. And yeah, at school, I never really cared about history, but the older I get, the more interested I am. And there's so much to see in Berlin. So I was really looking forward to you seeing this place. When we first arrived, we went to a hostel, we don't have to talk about it much, but it was a bit shit really, wasn't it? Our beds weren't made. Who really cares?
It wasn't the best
that?
Hostel. But it was
and then
right.
The first night, we had no plans. This is on the 30th of December. We just went out for some dinner and had a nice evening. And the next day, We went for a walking tour. Now, I've done a walking tour before, and it blew my mind, so I really wanted you to see it. So what did you think of it? Because we saw a lot of major sites, you know, things that have happened in history in World War II in particular. What did you think of the walking tour?
So the walking tour itself, I thought, was really good. From what I heard from you, it was amazing, like the best tour you've ever done.
Yeah, when I did it like a year ago.
Yeah, and I completely see why, because it's something that's always been in our school curriculum. We've always learnt about the World Wars, and I was really interested in listening to it. The first half of the tour was the not so exciting
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't that great, was it?
Yeah, because you always stop halfway through to get like a coffee and that. And it was so cold in Berlin as well. Like, what was it, like 2 degrees, something like that?
Something like that, maybe less.
Yeah, maybe like in the minus, so I'm not sure. But so that kind of distracted me a bit as well. But I think Berlin is beautiful. Like all the architecture, all the buildings, all the monuments, I think it is really stunning. The second half of the tour was a lot more interesting for me because it was like going to the victims of the Holocaust memorials and also going to Hitler's car park, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And that's where his bunker was, where he died. It blew me away. I know the tour wasn't as strong as the first one you went to because you've obviously done two. Yeah. But I was still blown away.
Yeah, and it was interesting to go to like the Berlin Wall and Checkpoint Charlie, wasn't it? Just to explain to the listeners who don't know too much about it. I mentioned earlier in my facts, after Germany lost the war, the country was divided. British part, the Russian part, and blah, blah, blah.
Four different sectors.
That's it, yeah. And so Berlin as a city was divided. And it was pretty much east and west. Like west was UK, France, United States. And the East was all the Russian Soviets, and they lived a communist lifestyle, you know, where there are not many options for people. It's not a free way of living. There were some positives to it. For example, everyone was guaranteed a job, which on the face of it sounds great.
It does.
It might be a job you fucking hate, but everyone was guaranteed a job.
And you were put in that sector as well. You couldn't choose what you do either.
Yeah, yeah. But then what started to happen is at first people could move freely from one side to the other. But because life in the East was a bit crap and the West were doing very well, people started to move over. And the Russians didn't like that. So pretty much overnight, they built this wall all the way through and around their part of the city. And now literally, if you went to stay at a friend's that night, on the east side and you lived in west, the next morning you couldn't get home. And I think it was like 20 years
ago. Well, it went down in 1989.
Yeah, and Germany lost World War II a long time before that, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. So it was up for a very, very long time and the city was divided.
And yeah, so what Checkpoint Charlie was, that was a point where people who were from USA or Great Britain, the Allies, shall we say, it was a place where you could move through freely, but it's a checkpoint, so you have to say who you are and what.
Take your passport and
yeah,
stuff like
that.
Yeah, why
you're going across. But that's what Checkpoint Charlie was. Now it's just, actually, that's not the original one there now. They built that just for tourists. And there's a couple of like guards there and you can put the like army hats on and have pictures with them.
And they are making a killing, aren't they?
Oh my God, like what, €3 for a picture? And they were nonstop all day.
And yeah, there was literally a really long queue. So imagine €3 a picture, but then also you can get official stamps for your actual official passport.
Yeah.
And I'm weak when it comes to stamps.
Yeah, and anything to do with my passport. Was that free, Amy?
No, it wasn't. It was €5 to get 6 stamps on a page in your passport.
It looks quite cool though.
It looks sick. Like, yeah. I'm not going to lie. At first I was like, oh, can I justify this €5? But then after I had them, I was like, do you know what? I don't even care because it was worth it.
No, you've got Checkpoint Charlie stamps in your passport. But one thing which is really interesting, which happened at that exact point, Checkpoint Charlie, World War III almost started at that point. So there was some dispute going on between the Russians and the Americans. And at one point, there were tanks on both sides ready to fire, pointing at each other. Fortunately, the American president and the Russian, do they have presidents or prime minister or whatever?
I don't know which way it is.
They were able to actually talk and sort it out. But at that very point at Checkpoint Charlie, the world was close to World War III. So like a lot has happened there in Berlin. And if you want to get an idea about the Berlin Wall and Checkpoint Charlie, a good film to recommend, Bridge of Spies.
Yes, that's a banging film.
That's
really good.
That's a really good film to watch. Other kind of German war films, some of my favourites. Inglourious Bastards. All right, it's not factually accurate, but that is a banging film.
And we watched Tarantino, so you got to watch it.
Yeah, we watched Schindler's List the other week as well. It's kind of one of the films you have to watch. And it was pretty good. It was sad. It was very long. But it gives you a good idea of what happened.
And that's actually in the top 10 list of best films on IMDb. Yeah. So that clearly says something, doesn't it?
Worth checking out.
Just going to Checkpoint Charlie before we tell an amazing, or before we let our tour guide tell an amazing story about the Berlin Wall and how a family got across, talk about Checkpoint Charlie. So the guards that are there who you can have your photo with, one of them asked you what your football team was, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you said Sheffield Wednesday, but he still went on to say, fuck Chelsea, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds.
Right. Okay, mate. I think that's the English he knew, really. Fuck Chelsea, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. But I was devastated. I mean, I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. For anyone who knows anything about football, you'll know that I hate Leeds. And this guy is this random German guy. He's a fucking Leeds fan. They're everywhere. I hate it.
And the other thing that happened at Checkpoint Charlie, well, we just had our photo there and then the group sort of went along onto the rest of the tour. And I turned to Nick because I'll say now, I do ask you a lot of dumb questions, but that's only because I don't want to sound dumb in front of you guys. So I want to ask questions before, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. So we were walking away from Checkpoint Charlie and I said to Nick, I was like, so those guards that were there, are they Nazis themselves then? And Nick goes, no, Amy, they were in costumes. They're not real guards. And I was like, for fuck's sake, Nick. I know I ask stupid questions, but I knew they were in dress.
You were like, no, I meant way back then.
I mean, way back, like when Checkpoint Charlie was a thing, like, were they Nazis that were guarding it? Like, who was guarding it?
But then
it?
You couldn't stop laughing that I thought, you thought, there were some Nazis just standing there posing for pictures of holidaymakers.
I was like, you're my husband. You've known me for 9 years. Do you seriously think I'm this dumb? Like, oh my goodness.
Anyway, so, should we move on to our walking tour guide?
Yeah,
her?
Yeah. So our guide was called Heidi and she was super cool. Like, she was just like, really fashionable girl. I'm just gonna say, she said she liked my coat and I got all giddy and I was like, the cool girl thinks I'm cool.
She was dressed like, it's common in Berlin where you look at someone, you might think, wait, are they homeless? I know, they're actually just dressed really cool, but you know what I mean, like they could be mistaken for being homeless.
I mean, I wouldn't use the word homeless, but
all
there
right,
you go,
you know what I mean, like edgy.
She got loads of layers on, she's really edgy, she looked really cool. I was like, oh my gosh, she likes my coat. So I felt really cool. But earlier when I said a really cool story about the Berlin Wall, she was telling us about this family who had actually built a hot air balloon and they'd carried themselves over from east to west Berlin. So this is her telling us about it.
I know that this is impressive because I tried to make a little homemade one with a Jiffy lighter and a garbage bag, and even that was hard enough. They got their whole family over in a homemade hot air balloon. They came out with their story 20 years later because it was still quite sensitive to tell people how you escaped, even after the wall came down in 1989. So in terms of culturally what was going on while the wall was up in the 70s and 80s, you have all of these famous pop bands like Phil Collins, Depeche Mode, David Bowie, taking up temporary residence in West Berlin and fueling this crazy culture that was famous for drug consumption, parties, music, but there was a lot of really experimental, cool stuff going on. It was amazing to be a youth at this time in West Berlin. In the East, they had Jugendclubs or youth clubs, and these were a little bit lame, I imagine, because they had organized activities for the kids. So this is like sing-along, sport, you know, just imagine like a sort of lame Christian youth camp or something. I can relate because I used to have to go on these when I was a kid, like organized bushwalks and that kind of thing. So you can imagine a lot of them were quite jealous of what was going on in the West. And towards the end of the fall of the wall, this also put a lot of pressure on the government. Phil Collins and David Bowie held a concert right up near the wall, and not sure if it was this section, I can't tell you exactly where it was, and put the speakers facing the east to basically send this message of love and acceptance and give a treat to these kids in the east that couldn't take part in this culture. And a lot of them were bold enough to creep right up and close enough to listen.
So that was our walk-in tour guide, Heidi. Thanks very much for showing us around. And I totally think you're cool as well, so.
Oh my God, get a room. Right, and so next up, we're keeping the history coming thick and fast, but we'll try and keep it light. Now, when I was in Berlin about a year ago, I was actually there for a friend's stag party. And we were there Friday night, we had a big night out, and the next day, Saturday morning, I woke up about 7 or 8 in the morning, because I don't sleep that well when I've been drinking. And I thought, what can I do in Berlin? We had to be somewhere at midday for a beer bike, classic. So I thought, what can I do to kill time? Google, 10 o'clock every day, a tour meets near the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. Bang. I said to the other guys, I'm going to do this walking tour, check out Berlin. Who wants to come with me? Literally.
Silence.
They looked at me as if I was a paedophile. They were like, what? Why would we do that? So I'm like, all right, see you later, guys. So I was very hungover, very tired, but had a great time, really enjoyed it. So I spoke to my tour guide, Rochelle, and she's from Vancouver, and I asked her what she's doing in Germany.
I'm from actually Vancouver, Canada, so I'm a long way from home.
What brings you to Germany?
Well, I have a degree in architecture, so I'm a big fan of context and history, and actually that's what I like about architecture the most is the geographical, political, and historical context. So I'm a bit of a history buff, and you can't really find a better place for history than in Berlin.
Definitely here in Berlin. I think that just goes for Europe as a whole, really. Do you not agree? I mean, if you are a history buff, you're very lucky to be in Europe.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah.
So, speaking of history, you gave us a very good little kind of condensed chat about almost the whole history of Germany. Can you just give the listeners a brief lesson, like the last maybe 100 or 200 years, what's been going on in Berlin? Because like you said, a lot has happened.
Sure, I will try. So, let's start with, in my opinion, what basically caused World War II, and that would be World War I. So June 28th, 1914, you have the assassination of Franz Ferdinand, and that basically kind of, we've been feeling the effects of that ever since. So you have World War I, obviously ends in the defeat of Germany, the signing of the Treaty of Versailles, which basically imposes such strict consequences on Germany that really economically and politically they're not really able to stabilize. And then in 1929, you have the stock market crash in Wall Street, which really kind of sends the whole world into the Great Depression. Economically and socially, Germany is in ruins. So you have the rise of extremism. You have a lot of people willing to listen to these extreme ideas politically. So you obviously have a ladder for the Nazis to climb, and they climb that ladder pretty high. Adolf Hitler, who would have otherwise kind of been a laughingstock, really has a political platform that people take him seriously. He's sworn in as Chancellor January 30th, 1933, and he essentially thus begins a 12-year reign of terror. Censorship, deportations, murder, awful. I think most people are familiar with World War II, the Holocaust, 11 million dead during the Holocaust, 6 million of those were the Jewish community of Europe. And since World War II, you have the Allied occupation of Germany. You know, they divided it up, four zones of occupation, the Soviet Union, the Americans, the British, the French. This sort of begins the Cold War because they can't really play nicely together. So the Soviet Union, they split off. East Germany becomes the German Democratic Republic. The Western Allies, they merge their zones. They're the Federal Republic of Germany. 1961, due to sort of the strain on the emigration out of the East, the East German government builds the Berlin Wall. August 13th, 1961, kind of the middle of the night kind of deal. And then it stood for 28 years and separated families, sort of ruined lives. Then 1989, finally November 9th, you have through the Peaceful Revolution and a little bit of, a debacle with a guy called Günter Schabowski. He kind of announces some information about the passing through the wall a little bit too soon, kind of gets himself a little confused, and the Berlin Wall ends up falling as a result of it. Then October 3rd, 1990, they finally give German citizens a vote, you know, to we reunify. And they voted, yes, we do. So East Germany ceased to exist, kind of like out of a fairy tale. It sort of weirdly, as it came into being, it disappeared. And in the last 26 years, art, music, culture, all sorts of fun things have come to Berlin. It's a really active city. Culturally, it's really liberal. You can kind of be anybody you want to be here. So I love it here.
Cool. I was just going to ask about yourself. Kind of, do you like to travel kind of for leisure? I know you enjoy what you do, but you're here for work. Do you like to travel around the world when you can?
Absolutely. Actually, in February, I was in Prague. This month, at the end of the month, I'm going to Stockholm. Next month, I'm going to Spain. And then in May, I'm going to Paris. So
fantastic. Where's your favorite place that you've ever been before?
Oh, my God. Love Amsterdam. Love Helsinki. I lived in Helsinki before, so yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And again, finally, the company you work for, the name is?
Sandemans New Europe.
And where can people find them if they want to do the walking tour in Berlin?
In Berlin, we're at Pariser Platz, just in front of the Brandenburg Gate, the Brandenburger Tor, right in front of Starbucks. So we're really easy to find. Just look for the red umbrella.
Like Nick said, we're going to keep the history coming thick and fast. So going back to our first tour guide that we were with a few weeks ago, Heidi, she took us to a place, well, she was taking us all around the city. And obviously when you stop, you know what she's about to talk about because it's a really grand like building right in front of you or whatever. But we went to a car park and it was all a bit confusing because we were like, why are we here? We knew, but we didn't know if the rest of the group knew.
Yeah.
But so she was telling us about Hitler's bunker.
So, who's into car parks? Any car park connoisseurs?
That's a dumb joke.
This is one of the least visually captivating but more historically intense places that I take people. So, this car park is Hitler's bunker. For anyone that didn't know, yeah. Boom, there's a surprise. So, basically, it's a car park, which I think is very clever because they definitely did not want people to come here. And I think... Look, from my perspective, the Nazi regime is already glorified enough. We learn about it over and over and over again in like Western, it's in every curriculum and then they teach it again at uni. And I think, you know, other countries are missing out in, you know, in terms of people studying their history. Like, what about South America before the Spanish? Like, what about China and the Boxer Rebellion? Anyway, I'm going on a tangent. But yeah, so they did not want it to be glorified. We do know a few things about it though, which I'll tell you. So it was 30 rooms, so it was pretty big. I imagine it extended at least to these apartment blocks, probably a little bit further back. Hitler's room was right at the back, 8 meters underground. And when the Russians came through, it was the first thing they tried to blow up because it was the Nazi headquarters during 1949. And they couldn't. The walls were 3 meters thick in concrete. It was like, one of the best fortified fortresses in the world. They kept trying to blow it up until the 80s, like various people, but it was just so annoying and so hard that they just filled whatever remaining shell there is with sand. We don't have a blueprint anymore of what it is. It's completely inaccessible. What do we know about his last days? So his last address above ground was his second last day on Earth and also his 56th birthday. And he came above ground near the Reichstag, which we're going to see when we go to the Jewish memorial, to award the Hitler Youth for their bravery. I find this super sad because this was like a cowardly act of morale boost on his part, because all that was left in the city of the armies, the different armies that they had, because it was separated into different factions, the Hitler Youth, they were a bunch of 14 and 15 year olds, these little kids hiding out in rubble, basically trying to defend, terrified, waiting for the onslaught of the Soviet soldiers. And the very next day, Soviet artillery hit the city and took out these kids. So after this address, the day that he knew it was all over, pretty much, and down there with him, he had Joseph Goebbels, his favorite commandants that remained loyal to the end, or at least knew that they had no chance in the war crime trials. His beloved dog Blondie, his girlfriend Eva Braun, who he married the day before the end. He gave a cyanide pill to his dog Blondie, a cyanide pill to Eva, ate one himself, but he was so convinced that he was like some like supernatural force that couldn't die that he also shot himself in the head to make sure. So about, I'm sure you've heard some funny conspiracy stories about, oh, he's living it up in Argentina or on some island or whatever. No. His remains were incinerated. People were under strict instructions to make sure that nobody could get to what was left of him. One skull was found inside the complex. It was female and it was too old to be Eva Braun, so it was probably one of the secretaries. That was literally all they found.
That was Heidi again. We have given you guys so much material this episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it and learnt a lot. Learning history is fun.
What the fuck?
Anyway, let's keep it going. Let's move on. We've got so much still to go.
Yeah.
So, Amy, you had a good point about where to stay in Berlin.
Yeah, so we said in Cologne, make sure you stay in Hansaring. But in Berlin, I would say stay at Alexanderplatz. It was the same situation. Wherever we wanted to travel on the underground or wherever... which is called the U-Bahn or the S-Bahn. We always seem to go to Alexanderplatz, so it's a really good central point to stay. So if you can get your hostel there, then go for it. We will be talking about New Year's in a second, but our New Year's tour we went on like a beer party tour with like 200 people. And that actually met at Alexander Platz, like a hostel there. I can't remember what the hostel was called.
Yeah, 180 hostel. Or like 180 degrees hostel. That's
and we
place.
Only went to like the bar and everything. We obviously didn't go in any rooms, but that was a banging hostel. I'd actually say stay there.
Yeah, 180 hostel for sure. Alexander Platz is where it's going on. One more quick thing about Berlin we'll share with you guys. You'll notice, depending on what part of Berlin you're in, but you'll see the, you know, traffic lights, the green man that tells you whether to walk or not. It's quite unique in Berlin because the old school East Berlin, Soviet Russian traffic light man, if that's the right word. He's got a name, isn't he? But it's something German. But anyway, rather than just a green man and a red man for go and stop, they actually have a man walking, little cartoon character, and then a man standing still. So that rather than relying on the colour, you can actually see what he's telling you to do, which makes a lot more sense. Because if you're colourblind, you're not going to know whether to go or not.
Exactly.
But he's become a little celebrity icon. You can get like T-shirts and bags with this little walking man on.
I've got his name here. I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but it's Ample Mansion.
He's a fucking dude.
He looks like an absolute dude. He's like wearing a hat. He's fashionable.
So look out for that guy.
Yeah, cool. Right, let's talk about New Year's. The whole reason why we were in Berlin.
Yeah, very true. So we booked a pub crawl. Because New Year's, you want to know where you're going. You want to get in places. You don't be waiting in queues and not knowing where the fuck you're going. So we booked a big pub crawl, 200 people, with the tour company were called Original Berlin Tours. And it was good because like, we got into places. The first place we went to, it was like a free bar for 2 hours or 3 hours, which sounds great, and it was great, but it was so crowded in there, it was hard to get a drink, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like, how do I explain this? It seemed like a squatter's house, where like it was an abandoned house. But they just kind of thought, no one's using it. Should we get it for free?
Let's go to the supermarket, buy a shitload of booze.
Yeah, put some speakers in there. And the music was on point, though. I will say that.
Yep.
Did like the music at that point, yeah.
And we met a lot of cool people from all around the world. A lot of Americans who were there in the American military who were based in Germany.
Apparently I was talking to a few of them all night. I don't remember.
You don't remember, do you? Yeah. And we met this really cool Australian couple. Shout out to Chloe and Shane. We had a really good night with them guys. And after this derelict house, as you say, we went outside, had a bit of champagne, which was cool, to watch the fireworks. And then it all got... To do the countdown for New Year's, of course. Then it all just got a bit blurry from there. And about 5 hours later, we were in this techno club. And we thought, about 5 a.m, we're thinking, we've been here for about 3 or 4 hours, but we don't actually like techno music. So should we go to bed?
I mean, we were liking it at that point, but yeah, thinking back, I love electronic music, but techno is just one that I'm just not into. But yeah, it was still such a good night. Berlin is so good for nightlife. And talking about nightlife, they're a really famous club. I think you pronounce it as Bergheim. I'm not too sure. But you'll know it as like the best club in the world. We found out the other day that for New Year's, their party didn't finish until the 3rd of January. It went on for 3 whole days.
That is crazy. Shut the fridge. That is mental.
What the fuck does that mean?
You know exactly what it means, Amy. But that is ridiculous. The 3rd of January, the party ends. I could never have done that. But the Bergheim is famous for being quite difficult to get in. I'm not even sure if you have to dress smart or dress down or be foreign or be local. I don't even know what the rules are.
You've got to look really cool, like kind of Shoreditch, London style. If you look cool and weird.
Style.
It's not homeless. Like Heidi, our tour guide, I bet she gets in there.
She'll get right in. She'll go straight to the front. The bouncers will be like, Heidi, don't fucking queue up. You're getting in straight away. But yeah, apparently you've got a 40% chance of getting in and you can be waiting about 2 hours. So it depends if you want to risk it.
Yeah, it's like my goal in life to get into that club.
We will go back one day and we'll have a couple of nights in Berlin. So even if that night is a write-off, at least we've tried to get in.
Definitely. Oh.
Oh my God.
No, that is not the fire bell in the studio that we're at.
Scared the shit out of me.
That now means it is time for my brand new feature. This is my brand new feature and it's called Language Lessons with Amy. We are a travel podcast and we don't talk about language enough. And this is like one of my favourite subjects in life. So I thought I'm going to take the reins of this one and I am going to teach you the language of every country we do an episode of.
I'm actually a bit annoyed we didn't think of this right at the start.
I know.
We should have done this. We should have done this for every episode.
So I've got a range of facts that I'm going to show you. And I'm also going to be featuring one of our friends called Taya. She can speak fluent German. And I'd never heard her until this point because I asked her to record a few German words for me because I want to get this, you know, the accent on point. I want it to sound good for you guys. And I can't do it any justice myself because I don't speak German. But she sent me a recording of some words I sent her. And oh my God. world. Her accent is banging.
Spot on.
Enter the classroom right now. And I'm just going to write my name on the board here. So we've got Mrs. Thompson. Oh, no, I'm still going. No, yeah. There we go. Amy Thompson. I'm a slow writer.
I meant you had to bend over. Did you drop your pen?
Oh.
What kind of school did you go to?
I'm going to just keep writing here.
That is a long name.
I'm a slow writer. Amy. I was writing my middle name in there. Amy Rose Thompson. Lessons.
You spelled Thompson wrong, so you had to scribble it out again.
Yeah, yeah. German lessons.
This is too long.
See, I'm done. Right, okay. There you go. So I wrote Amy Rose Thompson, that's my name. You can call me Mrs. Thompson, Nick, from this point onwards.
Okay.
So we're going to get started with a lesson. Could you please put your phones away, guys? You, if you're sitting on the train while you're listening, stand up. Come on. Get some attention here.
Stand up.
I don't know why I said stand up. Pull your socks up. What was that song?
Pull your socks up.
Stand up. Pull your socks up. What was that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What is that? I think it's like Dizzy Rascal
stand
song.
Stand up for your rights.
No.
Fix up, look sharp.
Fix up, look sharp. That's what I was thinking of. We are going to start with the basics. Like I said, I want you to pay attention, people. If not, I will give you my whipping noises. Okay. Right, so let's get started.
I don't know if I'm scared or turned on.
We're starting with the basics. So hello is said like this by the beautiful Taya.
Hallo. Hallo.
Okay, so repeat after that. Hallo.
Hallo.
Okay. Goodbye is?
Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Okay. Auf Wiedersehen.
Which everybody kind of knows that one, don't they? But it literally means until we see each other again.
Like it.
Okay. I added another word in here, which I forgot to send to Taya, which is please. But it's said like the word bitter, like a beer. Bitter.
Bitter.
I hope I've got that right for Taya's sake. And I hope she doesn't shout at me and like
I remember Germans
whipped me or something.
I remember Germans saying that. Yeah, bitter.
Bitter, yeah. Okay, so we are going on to the alphabet now. So we have 26 letters in our alphabet, don't we?
Mrs. Thompson, sorry to interrupt. What's Guten Tag?
Good day.
Oh, well done.
Or is it good morning? I'm pretty sure it's good
so
day.
So it's not hello. I've always thought Guten Tag was hello.
I think you can say it is hello. Like, good day
good
is...
Good day, yeah. Okay.
It's the same thing,
sorry,
isn't it?
Move on to the alphabet. Thank you.
That's all right, Nick. Next time you're getting one of these. Okay? Right. Okay. So we have 26 letters in our alphabet. They have four extra, so they have 30. So the extra ones, you know them pretty little letters that got the two dots above them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's called an umlaut. So there's three letters that have got an umlaut above it. The A, the O, and the U. And here Tay is going to explain it a little bit better.
E, U, U. So the umlaut, if you want to write the word which has got an umlaut above the vowel, you can replace it by putting an E next to that vowel. So the word for Austria is Österreich, and at the start it's an O with an umlaut. So you can write a big O, then a little E next to it, and then obviously finish the word. It's basically what the umlaut represents, so that's why you pronounce it differently to just A or U, and you add an extra like E at the end of it.
Isn't her accent banging? Like when she said the Austria word.
Yeah, like she sounds German.
She really does. It actually freaks me out a little bit. You've got to be really careful when you use them. So you know the place Düsseldorf?
Yeah.
You've got the umlaut over the U, the second letter, right? So if you write it correctly, it literally means the village on the Düssel, the local river, right? But if you don't put the umlaut on it, the two dots, it literally like translates to village of wallies, like as in idiots.
Oh, wow.
So you've got to be really careful. Like, you have to use the umlaut.
Easy to insult people.
Exactly. The fourth extra letter is a sharp S. And it's that funny letter that looks like a capital B.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yep. So this was made an official letter in 1901, and it's used in a lot of common German expressions. One big, I'm going to try this one, okay? Mit freudlichem Gruß.
Nice.
Not as good as Taya, but she's going to explain it now.
The Esset, which is the thing that looks like a funny B, is pronounced, it's used in older German. It's less common now, but it means two S's, so it's just pronounced. So like Fußball.
Moving on to pronunciation. So I said this a little bit earlier. The W is pronounced as a V. So like we said earlier, we went to Winterberg, but you pronounce it as Winterberg.
Yep.
And I would also say, if you're ever talking to Nick, please call it that, because I know it annoys him. And if you're talking about Budapest, make sure you say Budapest.
Budapest.
There you go. So moving on to a really long word, and I'm really excited to show you this. They're kind of known for their long words, aren't they? Words that have so many letters in. And their longest word has 63 characters in it, right? Which is just ridiculous. And I asked Taya to attempt to say it, and I thought she won't get it. Is it she might not even know the word, I don't know. It literally means law for the delegation of monitoring beef labeling.
Why do they need one word for that?
I don't even know understand what that means, but here it is. This is the word:
Rindfleischetikettierungsüberwachungsaufgaben Übertragungsgesetz. Rindfleischetikettierungsüberwachungsaufgaben Übertragungsgesetz.
That was one word, said twice, by the way.
Yeah, said twice. I think actually, I should have prepared for this, but the longest word in the world is actually a Welsh word. It's a train station.
Oh, I'm not surprised by that.
There's no way we can pronounce it. It's like Glüingenglofen, Schnitzelachenlochen. Like, yeah, it's actually quite similar to that. But no, that is incredible.
63 letters long. I don't know whether I should attempt this. I don't know.
Do it.
Should we?
I've just done the Welsh one.
You did. And pretty accurate it was.
It was.
Okay, right. Well, this is what it looks like anyway. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it right. Gaben Uber Trangengzagets.
Very good. Well done.
I'm pretty proud of that. So moving on with the words, we've got some pseudo-Anglicisms, which basically means English words that are also words in German,
great,
but mean something else. Okay, so if you say you're going to a bad hotel, it doesn't mean you're going to a bad hotel. It means you're going to a spa. In Germany, only older people go to these places.
Right.
So yeah, not really a place for young people, apparently. Their words, not mine. And if someone in Germany says they want to give you a gift, do not take it. They are not your friends, people. A gift means poison in Germany.
Like it.
Got a few more. So smoking, what do you think that means?
I don't know. Either flavoured food, like smoked cheese.
No, it's a dinner suit.
Okay. Smoky. You look smoking.
Ah, yeah, you could use it like that. Evergreen.
A tree?
No, it's a golden oldie, like an old song that like everybody knows.
That makes sense, because if someone's old but they're still like in good shape, they're evergreen. But
I guess so. I guess so. And what would you put in a body bag?
A dead body.
Well, yeah, that's what we would put in it. That in Germany is a backpack, but only with one strap.
A body bag.
A body bag, yeah.
All right.
And last one, handy. What do you think a handy is?
Something sexual.
Could you please elaborate?
A hand job.
No, in Germany, that is a mobile phone.
A handy.
A handy.
Oh, wow.
So, telling the time. This blew my mind. I really, really like this. So, they don't use AM or PM. They only work on a 24-hour clock. But you've got to be really careful when you're saying your half pasts on your times, because you could be an hour late for everything. So, Taya, what time is it?
Es ist halb neun. Es ist halb neun.
So what do you think that's saying?
Half nine.
Yeah, neun is nine. Es ist halb neun. But that doesn't mean half nine. That means half eight. Because where we say it's half past eight, they say it's half an hour to nine.
Okay.
So everything's kind of off. So you could be an hour late for everything. So you've got to be really, really careful with that.
Okay.
So that was the end of the class, people. You can get on to your next period now. All right. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Mrs. Thompson.
So now that our lesson is done with, let's go on to a game which I'm so scared and excited about.
There's been a lot of build up to this game. It should be quite good. The game is called Sausage Fest. And the idea is me and Amy got to take it in turns saying anything German related while we have a sausage in our mouth. Whenever we get one word correct, we then have to put another sausage in our mouth.
It's going to be gross. But to help us along with the game is my friend Adam, or our friend Adam.
Yeah, well, your friend first.
So, yeah, let's leave that Nick Adams.
Yeah, no, he's just comes as part of the package.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But yeah, what you're going to do, basically, you're the guy who's pretty much a commentator and the referee. If you don't understand the word we're saying, then we fail.
Yes.
You okay with that?
Yep.
How are you feeling about this game, watching us put meat in our mouths?
Just hope I don't get turned on. It's the only thing.
Our friendship could change a lot today. couldn't it?
We're in
it
a could. Small room, just us three. You know, you're third wheeling a little bit.
The smell is going to be overwhelming.
Yeah, Brian.
How am I going to explain to my wife if I go home smelling of sausage meat?
You smell of German sausage. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've been with Nick and Amy. I know what's going on here.
Those travellers, their quirky ideas.
Anything goes with them. Right, should we get started?
We are now live.
Hello, everyone.
This is What the Faux Travel Podcast. This is the first time we're going live ever on Facebook Live.
Yeah, we thought it might be good fun for you guys to watch this game we're about to play called Sausage Fest.
So, Sausage Fest. Right, okay. I've got the rules here. Amy and Nick, or Nick and Amy, actually. It's been written down this way.
Nick's always
Nick
first.
And Amy.
Yeah. You need to take it in turns to say any word associated with Germany, the country. But you have to have a sausage in your mouth when you do it. Each time they say a correct word, they must add another sausage. No repetition, no hesitation, and I need to understand what the hell you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't get the point unless you understand what we're saying.
Yeah, if I don't understand what you're talking about, it's no point.
Okay, can we at least get like two or three attempts? Just if we've got a mouthful of sausages, it'll be hard for you to understand.
Yeah, let's say three strikes.
Okay, three strikes.
Let's say three strikes.
So we need to put our sausages in our bowl. Here's our bowl, here's our sausages.
It's so slimy.
Sausage bowl.
All I can smell is this brine. It's so strong, isn't it?
Right. Should we both put off the first sausage in our mouth?
It's got like white floaty stuff in it. Who's going first as well?
Right, I'll go first. So, the sausage is in my mouth. Okay. Cigar.
Oh, it smells so strong.
Okay. Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. Should I write these down, like give you a point each time?
No, we'll just keep going.
Yeah, write down the scores. This is important. Okay. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm weird. Oh, they're cold. Okay. Okay. Brandenburg Gate.
Nice. Okay.
What?
Brandenburg Gate.
Brandenburg Gate.
That's the one.
Okay, second sausage is inserting in my mouth now.
Oh, God.
Okay. Berlin.
Say it again.
Berlin.
One more time.
Berlin.
Berlin.
The capital, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know, I just want you to say it.
Okay. Volkswagen.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Volkswagen.
Getting
slashy. Nice. You look like a walrus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Via.
What?
I get that. Okay.
I knew what it was anyway.
Runic.
Say it again.
Munich.
Right, I want pronunciation, Nick.
I can't. There's a sausage in my mouth.
One more time.
I got that one.
Munich.
Munich. There you go. There
I'm
you
putting go. In the third sausage.
I think Nick's got a bigger mouth than Amy.
Okay, what? Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler.
Okay. Sausage number four.
Oh, this is wrong on so many levels.
Lederhosen.
Lederhosen.
I'm googling.
What?
I'm googling.
You're turned on?
Dribbling.
No.
You see you're turned on?
Oh.
Okay.
What, number four? I can't look through.
All right, what's your German word?
Einstein.
What?
Einstein.
Albert Einstein?
Yeah.
Is he German?
Yeah.
Yeah. Albert Einstein.
I looked it up.
I didn't know.
Did you look? You had to double check that.
Okay.
I thought it might have been Austrian, but.
Fifth sausage.
Hang on, there's a sausage starting to break off your mouth.
No, that's fine. Okay.
Number five. Come on, Nick.
Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel.
She's German.
I've got a careful one coming.
Sorry?
I've got. A careful one coming.
You're making it more difficult for me now.
Adidas.
Adidas. Mm.
Well done.
Is that German? I didn't know that was German.
Okay.
I did so much.
This is...
Okay. World Cup.
World Cup.
World Cup. Well, not World Cock.
Okay.
I don't know whether Amy could fit any more in
there. I don't know.
No more sausage.
A I've got a feeling like both of you two are going to get brand new fans, new set of fans after this.
I'm so good.
Did you go?
I'm so turned on.
Are we allowing you to take him out and put him in and insert it again? Take it out and insert it all together?
Hansel and Gretel.
Well done.
Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, God.
Nice. See, you're doing really well.
Okay.
This is a toe roll.
Okay. Euros.
No.
Euros.
It's part of the German currency. Okay.
Frankfurt.
Frankfurt.
Can you get one more?
How many sausages are left?
I've got two.
You got two left to get on par.
Ooh.
Right, I'm going to...
I can't wait.
For people listening to the podcast that haven't actually seen the video, this is going to sound so dodgy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sticking a sausage in my mouth. How did you do that?
Okay, Christmas cruise.
Say again?
Christmas cruise.
One more time.
Christmas cruise.
Okay, Christmas tree.
I can't do it anymore.
What happens?
I can't do it anymore.
Don't eat them. That's disgusting.
A lot.
Right, okay,
that's it. So game over. Amy won. I lost.
You dropped your sausages.
I just dribbled everywhere. That is so gross.
Hold on. Yeah, guys, listening to that probably wasn't the best. But that was an intense game of Sausage Fest. And who knew? Amy is better at putting sausages in her mouth than I am. By far. It's all the practice.
So true. I had some more answers to come as well.
So true. Well, that was good fun.
Stinks in here.
So that is, we have a clear winner. Amy won. Well done.
What has happened to your sausages? You just mutilated all of them. Mine are still clean.
they're all in one piece.
I learn how to, you know.
She takes care of sausages that go in there.
I do. Like, I mean, I'm not going to gnash them all off, am I?
Wow. Well, thanks for watching. I hope that was a bit entertaining.
I don't know how you're going to sell this. I feel a bit sick.
You feel sick. I feel sick. I've just had.
I feel sick watching.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 7 sausages in my mouth and I can still talk.
I feel a bit dirty. I feel a bit dirty sitting in the room watching you do it as well.
You're kind of like third wheeling on us.
It's kind of like I couldn't actually. You were doing it, so you had. But I'm just sitting here watching you do it.
You can never look us in the eye again, can you?
Now I just feel a bit. I don't know,
our friendship's gone to a new level.
I don't think I could be friends with you guys anymore now. That was a bit too intimate.
Right. So that was the much anticipated Sausage Fest game. It's been such a educational show, and then it
blowing your old trumpet there.
Then to bring it down. No, you know, we've chatted a lot of facts at people, language and history, and then just to get it back to our level, we were sticking sausages in our mouths. I can't believe you won. I actually thought I would wipe the floor with you there.
I thought you'd win as well. Yeah, I thought you'd win purely on your list of your German facts.
Oh, you had loads. Adidas, genius.
Can I just say, earlier I obviously looked at a few German things, and I did that memory technique, you know, where you write a list and you want to remember everything on it, so you create a story in your head.
Nice.
So can I just go through my story, because I really liked it.
Go on then.
Okay, so my list started with Volkswagen, right? So I pictured a Volkswagen, right? It went Volkswagen to Brandenburg Gate to Hitler, right? So I imagined Hitler with his two friends, which were my next words, Karl Marx and Einstein, in a Volkswagen car together, driving through the Brandenburg Gate, and they were wearing Lederhosen.
Nice.
They were in Berlin, but they were making their way to Cologne, then Winterberg to ski. So these are all my German words. While they were skiing, they skied past Christmas trees, and then they went to eat some sausages at Oktoberfest with some mustard.
Nice.
And then they went to watch a show of Hansel and Gretel, whose show was in a gingerbread house, and they were wearing Adidas trainers. And then they used the chips on their cards. So they used them to pay for Hansel and Gretel show while they were wearing their contact lenses, and then they had to go to kindergarten to pick up their kids.
Oh my God. Did you remember all of that while we were playing the game? Obviously, you didn't say all them words, but you remembered that story.
It was all a bit mixed up in my head, but throughout the day, I did remember the story. Yeah.
Christmas trees. What? That's a German thing.
Yeah, they originated in Germany, yeah.
Crazy. Well, that was a very good game. But I think that's it for now for the show, isn't it?
Well, let's sum up what we thought of Germany.
Yes, let's do
so
that.
So we've heard on other episodes, and I know for sure that you love Germany. It's actually one of your top countries, isn't it?
Top five. Yeah, no, I really, really enjoy it. I've been there a few times now. Once for Oktoberfest, yeah, another I explained earlier for that stag party in Berlin, and then with you, we went to a few places together, and I always really like it. People are great. It's a really fun country. There's lots to do. Food is good. Beer is good. Yeah, it's in my top five countries in the world. I really do like it.
I've kind of come to a sum up of that. If you're going to be stereotypical about it, I'd say it just seems like quite a manly country.
Okay.
Everything would appeal to a man. Like, I'm being really sexist here. Elena from her feminist podcast is going to tell me off.
She will not be happy.
But, there's a lot of beer and it just seems like that. Like, I really enjoyed it. I think I was kind of hoping I would enjoy it more than I did.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I would definitely recommend going if you're a history buff. Definitely go. Well, you've probably already been if you're a history buff. I like Germany as a whole. I loved Cologne more than I thought I would. It's really, really cool. Yeah, nice, relaxed vibe there, where Berlin's a bit more intense and really into if you're into your partying and stuff, which is really cool. So, yeah, overall, I'd out of 10, I'd give it a strong 7.
You sound like the chicken connoisseur now.
Yeah, there you go. We should start rating countries out of 10. That should be our new thing. But yeah, no, I did like it. There were a few things that I didn't like the underground, the S-Bahn, the U-Bahn. And we didn't tell this story, actually. We actually got fined on the train because we were running off one train to get onto another and we just completely didn't think that we didn't buy tickets. We just jumped on the train. Their ticket officers are like bouncers and they came up to us and they were like, can you show me your ticket? All this, really scary. And they ended up escorting us off the train. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I had to go get money out and it was really embarrassing.
But so yeah, anyone who's listening to this, buy a ticket before you get on the train. They don't have any barriers like they do in England where you can't physically get on the platform unless you got a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. So we just run on the train, not because we were running trying to catch the train because we were late. Just because we didn't go through any barriers. We just didn't even think about tickets.
Yeah.
We just went barely like half a stop and we got caught by those bouncer guys. So please make sure you get tickets, guys, because we got a hefty fine and we had to eat cheap.
But overall, loved it. Yeah, we both had a really good time.
Right, let's finish off with end of season party. Tell us about it, Nick.
Yep, we've got a venue, we've got a date. We've previously said it was Friday the 30th of June, which it is not. It's now the next day, which is Saturday 1st of July. So it's in London. It's a place called the Queen of Hoxton. It's a pretty cool place. It's like a bar. They've got a rooftop terrace. So if the weather's nice, we'll be up there early evening. That opens from 4 p.m. I think me and you, Amy, we'll probably get there early, maybe 4 or 5 p.m. But they've also got some bars downstairs as well, if the weather's not nice. But the key thing is, if you get there before 9 o'clock, it's free to get in.
Perfect. So next episode is going to be Iceland, which is really cool because we've recently been and so is Becky. So we thought, you know, let's team up and talk about it. So I'm excited because she is one of the funniest people I've ever met.
She has got bants.
She really has. So that's going to be next month. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out our other shows if you haven't already done so. Also, make sure you check out our video of Sausage Fest. It will be on our Facebook at Faux Podcast. Auf Wiedersehen.
Ashhorash. Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are at Faux Podcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears. We also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.